Nightcap recap here. Wednesday night, we're back. Talking about AEW, WWE. Bring it all together first.
Yo,
you gotta swerve. No,
swerve when you drive. What's up, my brother?
What is going on, my brother? How we doing?
That's the theme song of the brand new AEW World Heavyweight Champion, Swerve Strickland, baby.
Guy put in the hard work. 2 years. Remember we watched Revolution that 1 year? He came out. He said he was going to change everything. He went in that tag program with Keith Lee. That program, like, after they lost the belts, that program didn't even go anywhere.
Yeah.
Then he built the Mogul Embassy with some jobbers, and then they brought in Cage and all these guys. Now he's world champion.
Took him 2 years, man. That first year it was rough. Didn't even know if he was going to be on the show. He kind of just got lost in the shuffle, you know, with guys like D-Bry, CM Punk, Cole all showing up. Some guys got thrown to the back of the line. He put the work in. Promo got better. Matches got better. He became, like Cody Rhodes says, you become undeniable.
That's it.
He became undeniable.
Become undeniable, and they make you the guy.
He put himself in position, you know, and he had a couple big pay-per-view events that he had. He had guys like Daniel Bryan talking about him, saying, hey, that's a guy I want to wrestle. That's a guy that's doing something good. So it just proves, man, you put in the work, you know, you'll get yourself in a position to be the heavyweight champion of the company, and good for him, man. He deserves it.
Right, and, like, not to take anything away from Samoa Joe, but this was the right time to pull the trigger. They had to pull the trigger on a champion. They couldn't wait anymore. He was hot. He might have cooled off if they did it, like, a month from now.
Yeah, you could have made an argument that they should have done it sooner. But Samoa Joe, like you said, this doesn't hurt Samoa Joe. He's been a world heavyweight champion in multiple companies. He's an established guy, been around forever. His sole purpose now is to put over the next guy in line, a guy that deserves it. So you're right. If Swerve lost this one, he would have cooled down. There would have been no coming back. You would have been on to the next guy that seems to be Will Ospreay is the new hot thing now. Yeah. We all know that. We'll talk about it. But they had to do it now for Swerve. And you got a ready-made feud, if you want, with Hangman Page whenever that's ready to go.
Oh, yeah, 100%. When Hangman comes back, he's ready to go, and that's the way they're going to go with it. But, I mean, Joe took the belt from MJF. We were there when he did it. He had a nice run. Remember, Swerve stepped up in that devil feud, too, with MJF. He went toe-to-toe with one of the kings of the mic, and he passed with flying colors.
Right.
So, you know, all kudos to Swerve Strickland, what he's done. I remember the hype around it when he showed up at Revolution. You know, Tony Schiavone was hyped up. Everybody was, and he just got lost in the shuffle.
They made it a big deal because, you know what, at NXT, he was a guy that he was part of those budget cuts, right, during the pandemic. And a lot of people, Shawn Michaels included, Shawn Michaels was one of his early mentors, said, hey, like, I didn't want to lose this guy. Unfortunately, they had to let him go. But that was the guy that he was doing something with Hit Row. It was getting popular, and unfortunately, they let him go. And it kind of is like, hey, if this guy stuck around, who knows? Maybe he'd be in the position in NXT that you see a guy like Trick Williams and Mello are in right now. Maybe Swerve will be in that position. But clearly, when a guy like Shawn Michaels is saying, I didn't want to lose this guy, you know, and he's like, I still text him. I give him advice. Like, you know, this guy really is something special in the business. So good for him, man.
Yeah, congrats to Swerve. Great match tonight with Kyle Fletcher, too. I thought they had an excellent match. After the crazy segment to begin with Trent and Orange Cassidy and the best friends, that was a little weird. Yeah. But you know what? That's the company these days, right? But Dynasty was a good pay-per-view.
Yeah, Dynasty was good. I fell asleep for the last – I fell asleep just as the tag match with the Bucks and FTR were going. You know, Kev gave me the rundown, said it was actually a match that was – really kind of dangerous. The fans were kind of chanting for both teams to please be careful, and some of the spots were pretty brutal from what I heard. I didn't get to see any of the highlights on Twitter. And then I didn't get to see the main event, but obviously I woke up to see Swerve as the new champ. Besides that, you're right. I mean, going into it on paper, looked like a great card. One thing AEW does well, always puts on a really good, you know, pay-per-view, although it's kind of long sometimes. They put on really good long stuff. Some people were joking on Twitter saying, like, AEW should just go full old-school TNA, strictly pay-per-views, you know, like how they used to do back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. Top to bottom, really good card. And especially the Daniel Bryan, the Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay.
What a,
one of the greatest wrestling matches.
What a classic.
Yeah.
What an instant classic that was.
I was having a debate, and you tell me, look, different styles of professional wrestling. We always talk about it here. Different flavors. AEW will always give you the good quality matches. If you're into that style of wrestling, we know the style we're talking about here. WWE, they're back to calling themselves pro wrestling, but they still got the sports entertainment flavor. I'd still take, look, from a pro wrestling standpoint, Ospreay and Danielson was awesome, but I think I'd prefer to watch a match like Cody and Roman because, for you know what it is? They're making me care about what the outcome's going to be. I feel like I'm more invested in that story. I was more invested in that. I was really excited to watch this match with these two guys, and it was awesome from a pro wrestling standpoint. But at the end of the day, like, what is the story behind it? If you're telling me that we're going to get a trilogy out of these matches, then okay. Like, but sometimes I feel like AEW
just does these one-offs, right?
It doesn't, like, to me, it doesn't matter who wins or not. Like, it just the importance. I don't know how you feel about this.
Look, I agree. I mean, we know Danielson, you know, is just putting over guys now.
Yeah. And
Ospreay wasn't going to lose this match. But you could see, like, the way they built it going into it, right? It's all about the Don Callis family turning on Will Ospreay because he's not a villain. He's a babyface, and he's the biggest babyface in the company right now. And everybody knows it. And you could see, like, Don Callis, even after tonight, was, like, critiquing his matches. Like, yo, you still got to do this Tiger Driver 91. He's like, yeah, but did you see what happened with Brian? Like, I don't want to do it with him. Like, I heard him, like, the compassion. He's like, no, you got to do it. And so I get where they're going with that. Now, I agree. If we're going to get a trilogy of matches here, then I'm all for it, right? I mean, obviously, it was a one-off. I thought maybe it would have been more of, like, a number one contenders match for the championship. Obviously, we know Will Ospreay is going to fight for the international title against Roderick Strong. He probably is going to win. I don't see why he wouldn't win there unless there's, like, outside interference to save it.
I agree.
But, you know, I think, like, for me, the quality of Danielson and Ospreay was better than Ospreay Omega 2. But there was more of a storyline behind Ospreay Omega 2 than there was this match. Yeah. Like, the way they built it up, like, they beat Shibata. They had all these different matches. You know, Danielson's ground and pound, but he has Samario. We know what Will Ospreay's all about. But in Ospreay Omega 2, there was, you know, Don Callis had turned on Kenny Omega. He was in the corner of Will Ospreay. He's trying to win the title back. Canadian crowd. He's getting booed. Like, there's heat. Like, now, like, everybody just loves him because he's full-time AEW. And unless we get stuff coming out of here with Callis family and BCC, it was a great match, don't get me wrong. But, again, I like what you're saying, like, the payoff.
Yeah.
What we got with Cody and Roman.
From a strictly professional wrestling standpoint, one of the best pro wrestling matches. Just from the moves, the counters, the spots that you saw, the strong styles in there, the style that Ospreay and Danielson are known for. That, you know, it's great. Everybody, you know, there's people that love just strictly that style and are not into the other style, like the sports entertainment style. You and I feel like we go both ways.
We have 100%.
You know, like, we enjoy, we enjoy all types of pro wrestling, right? So
yeah.
I don't know if it's just like my tastes are changing as I get older. There was a time when I would watch some of these matches and be like, oh, I'm just – that was an awesome match. Did you see it? Did you see this move that he did?
Right.
Now I'm a little more invested. Maybe I've always been, but it's coming out more now that there's some real story and meaning behind it, and it matters if a guy wins or not and what the consequences are. It's, as opposed to just we're having a match, whoever wins, wins. Hell of a match, but what are you getting on the flip side of it? It doesn't really matter. You know, they might wrestle again. They might not. They do some one-offs sometimes.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just all in your preference, but it's not taking away from the fact that this was one of the best matches.
Oh, 100%. It was one of the best matches of the year. Best matches ever.
For sure.
Great card. Like top to bottom, I thought it was really good on paper.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to Willow winning the championship. Timeless Tony Storm, great match.
Yeah.
You know, Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, good to see those guys back. But, you know, again, we know AEW does great work with their pay-per-views. They're always going to deliver. But, again, some of it is just too long. Yeah. Like, we don't need everybody on the card.
And tonight we'll talk about, like, some of this show tonight felt disjointed. Look, they're back home at Daly's place. The crowd, like, a little lackluster, the crowd.
Considering what we know for Daly's place.
Yeah, audio issues early on. You see the Bucks come out with Jack Perry and Okada. Perry wants to get reinstated. They go into Tony Khan's office, sets up what we see later on. So like
that was we might as well just start there. That was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things that are so off sometimes. Like, they just had a really good Dynamite. Was it last week? Where Moxley cut the promo. Like, I feel like last week was a really good Dynamite. Coming off, you know, where they showed the CM Punk footage the week, you know, that they had a really good show.
Yeah.
Like, this week it just went back to, like, what are we doing here? Like, yeah, if you want to talk about that, we can.
I mean, look, like, I agree. Like, Moxley cut this insane promo the week before, like he's always done since he's been there, since 2019.
Yeah.
And it all went for nothing because of, like, stuff tonight. Like, don't get me wrong, like, the matches were good. Like, yeah. Ospreay won that eliminate, like, that bat, a casino battle royal.
There was a million guys in that match, yeah, by the way.
But all, like, the promo segments were really kind of disjointed.
Yeah, especially, like, Jericho being the learning tree now. Like,
that's so dumb. Like, it really is.
He's known as, now he's just the learning tree, Chris Jericho. And you got Big Bill coming out there saying, Jericho, I need some guidance. Like, Big Bill still has the robotic promo style that he's always had. And I know the point of this is to piss off the internet fans that trash Jericho for, like, you know, being like the Hogan of today now, where he's just taking young talent and beating them. I get it, but it's just like, it's just like, I feel like it's ran its course. Like, you know, and he always reinvents himself. He was always good at that, but now it's just getting borderline ridiculous that he's the learning tree. And we got guys coming out here saying that, like, I need to learn under your learning tree.
And it's like, and it's pissing off Taz, and you can tell. And I think this is a way to rebuild Hook and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, still, it was good. I mean,
to get the belt, I feel like the belt became a crutch for Hook. Like, you couldn't have him lose, so you had to get him off of him somehow. You know, like, I agree.
Jericho Vortex.
Yeah, the Jericho Vortex. That's another one where he trademarked that. Like, but
I like where he was the inner circle, just Chris Jericho, Judas come out to this, like, not the different tunes. Like, I think that's why a lot of people are just, like, annoyed, because, like, he doesn't have the same music.
Yeah.
People can't get behind it. No one cares. Like,
no one cares anymore. That's what it seems like.
Nobody cares. And Jericho is like, I feel like Jericho could get an AEW world title run, like, one more, if he just went back to how he came in a company.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people want to see that anymore, but...
No, but I'm saying, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know,
like...
It's like, all right, all these gimmicks are great, but now, like, dude, like, it's getting a little out of control now.
It's borderline ridiculous. That segment was nonsense with Big Bill, so... I mean, and then...
The main event segment it was just ridiculous as itself. Like, now we're gonna make because earlier in the night they're like, oh, we got to get Tony Khan on TV to reinstate Jack Perry, and everybody knows what happened at New Japan. He tore up his AEW contract. What happened at All In, Windy City Showdown? We got Cry Me a River chance going. Tony Khan comes out, he has no clue what he's doing out there, like, zero clue.
He's just like, you know, he's, you know, if you've been to these AEW live shows, he comes out prior to the show starting, and he hypes up the crowd, and he's such a goofball and, like, so corny.
He's such a mark.
And the way he came out tonight, you could just tell, like, he's just like, oh, man, I'm on TV. I'm going to be part of the show. Like, he's just like a guy that, like, you know, he's excited to be part of the show, doesn't know what to do otherwise. And, you know, all smiles, hugs Jack Perry, like, you know, reinstated. And I hope there's a gif of this somewhere, because I rewatched the clip. It's just so funny when he gets hit with the mic in the stomach, the way that he just falls to the ground like a dead bag of weight. Just, you got to go rewatch it. It's fucking hilarious.
Like, this guy, and then this guy takes the TK driver, aka known as the Meltzer driver, and he looks like he's dead.
Yeah. So Tony Khan taking bumps now. I guess they made it a little interesting at the end when, like, the entire roster came out, and his dad, Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, came out. They're like all concerned. So they're putting a little realism into it. They're really trying to get some heat on the Bucks, on Perry. They're trying to ride this thing, you know. So they're trying to make something. I can see what they're trying to do. They're trying to make something out of this. You know, the CM Punk stuff fell through, but they're trying to ride it and be like, all right, these are the asshole guys that wanted Punk out of there. Kenny Omega expected to come back next week. I would assume something's going to go down there where Kenny's not going to, you know, not going to be welcome with open arms if he doesn't join in with them.
Right.
So I can see what they're trying to do. It's just Goldberg might be right. Maybe, you know, Kev even said it too. Maybe it is cheesy. I don't know.
Well, I don't believe a word that comes out of Bill Goldberg.
I don't either.
Like, first of all, Bill Goldberg was cheesy. Let's get the,
yeah, he was.
And I'm going to call and God rest Gene Okerlund if he was next to me with a mic. He likes to be heard be called Goldberg. No, Bill Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg is his name.
Yeah.
And Bill Goldberg was a cheesy character that had two moves. The jackhammer and a spear, and his match was over in 8 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see where that goes with this whole storyline. Is Tony Khan now going to be a recurring guy on the TV? I don't know about that, but at least they got some you know, I don't know who the next opponents are going to be for these guys either. Should be interesting.
I mean, I would imagine maybe they're going to set something up with Omega.
Yeah, I mean, but is Omega cleared to wrestle yet? I don't know.
I don't know. He's back next week. Who knows if he's cleared to wrestle?
Yeah, let's see if he can get physical or take a bump or something like that, you know?
I mean, obviously we know FTR, you know, and the Bucks have – that'll probably be a match down the road again somewhere, someday. Hopefully we get another installment of that.
Right.
Because those guys always have great chemistry and they took it to another limit. Maybe we do it inside a cage this time because, you know, we had outside interference and, you know, FTR could be like, hey, wait a minute. We didn't know this guy was going to just show up. I mean, I did. I mean, it made sense that he was going to interfere and cost FTR the titles because they're CM Punk guys.
Right.
So, but it'll be interesting to see where they go with it. I mean, other than that, I mean, like I said, the matches were good. Ospreay, you know, he did his thing. Moxley, a powerhouse. Hobbs was really good for the Japan World title.
Yeah, it was good. Hobbs is just now becoming a guy that just jobs to everybody right now. You know, he's like
Lance Archer.
It's another guy that start stop pushes. You know, that I feel like, he could be a guy that could be in a conversation like to be in a world title mix, but maybe he needs another level, like kind of Swerve did. You know, Swerve found another level. Hobbs hasn't found it, and they kind of just put him in a bad position. Same with Wardlow, too. Wardlow's another guy that should be up there, just hasn't found the notch
right
that he needs to get up there. But it's also – it's like start-stop kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we start something – he cut this great promo. He hasn't been on TV. Like,
it's nonsense.
Too much – there's too much just throwing darts and seeing where it sticks, and we're just not going to carry stuff over from the previous week.
Yeah, no follow-up on anything.
And I think what lost a lot of it is now we have, like, two shows that you got to follow. Remember, like, we just had Dynamite, and, okay, yeah. Rampage came because, all right, whatever, it's Rampage. All right, so what? But now you have Collision on Saturday. So now you have to invest 4 hours of
– yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm not really watching Collision at all. I'm just seeing clips online.
Me too. So whatever happens there, is that carrying over to here? Like,
yeah.
I think you need to bag Collision and just get everybody back on Dynamite. And if guys aren't on Dynamite, so what?
It is what it is.
Like, the stuff is progressing because when they just had the one show, at least stuff carried over.
And tonight, I'll say this. Usually Dynamite's a two-hour show. It feels like it goes by pretty quick because it's a good show and there's some good matches. Tonight was the first time I watched it in a while where I'm like, man, this is just drag. It felt like it was dragging to me. That's what it felt like to me. I don't know about you, but it felt like that to me. And it's not a good sign to a show that flows. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, exactly. So, you want it to flow. We always came on here and said, man, what a great 2 hours that was. Can we get more?
Yeah, exactly, right? You'd be like, oh, man, I wanted more. Like, it was only 2 hours. Like, it was so good. Like, tonight, it was like, it just felt like it was longer than two hours.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was flipping around. Like, I had a hockey on. And then,
yeah,
like,
I was going to basketball a little bit.
Yeah,
too.
So, I mean, you never want that. Like we said, the crowds weren't into it. But, again, the crowds were into it in St. Louis. They killed it with another pay-per-view. You know, Double or Nothing will be good. But again, can we get there with the build? Like, is the build going to be there?
Yeah, look, Mercedes, I don't know if they, you could say they fumbled this thing. She came in. We're waiting 2 months for her to wrestle.
Well, I think she's still hurt. I think it was like the Hitman problem when he came to WCW. Like,
okay, that was the case.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense. But it's like, maybe you should have waited a little longer until she showed up. You know, I don't know. Like, it's the same promo every single week now. Like,
that's all she's known is.
You know, like, I feel like whatever anticipation, like the pop, the like, oh my God, she's back here. I want to see her wrestle. That's slowly fading away as each week goes by.
Because she hasn't wrestled.
Because she hasn't
And she's not going to wrestle until Memorial Day weekend. That's her first match.
Yeah, and if you knew that she was not going to wrestle till Memorial Day weekend, maybe you should have had her come in at Dynasty, like, for the first debut. Like, or, like, sometime between now and May 26th is when she's
going to show up. Well, I know what they wanted to do.
Yeah, we know
what. But they're not getting it.
We know why they did it. Big business, Boston. They want to sell tickets at the Garden.
Right, you know, but also, it was the CM Punk effect. They thought it was going to carry like it did, and she's not as big a name as Punk.
And you just got to know that was not going to be the case, regardless. Like,
no,
that was a fumble there on Tony's part. So now it's just kind of like, well, let's just get her in the ring now and just let's get it over with.
So you know? We'll see what happens. Dynamite.
Our girl Serena Deeb showed up too.
Serena Deeb after the women's match showed up.
The professor,
Dean Malenko of women's wrestling, wants a shot at Timeless Tony Storm and the AEW Women's World Title.
Listen, Drew loves the dancing of Mercedes every single week. Kev just says that's all she does. She just comes out and dances.
True. She does.
So that's all she's been doing every week since she can't wrestle yet.
Yeah, it's true.
So let's hope that they string together a good build to Double or Nothing. Let's at least get some good matches, a good card out of this. Back in Vegas. You know, we're going to get Forbidden Door in Long Island later in the summer. And I think we're getting, Full Gear again later in the year in Newark?
Yeah, yep.
So if we can get some free tickets or like $10 tickets or something, maybe we'll find our way there.
Yeah, that's the only way I'm going.
Yeah, so, you know, depending on what the card's going to be, maybe if you get like an Osprey, maybe the return of MJF in Long Island, who knows, right?
That would be sick, right?
Yeah, so let's hope they put together a good build. Just give me a good build to Double or Nothing. Make me, you know, want to watch it. That's it.
Right, exactly. Make me want to actually spend money on it.
Well, you know, that website's really good, so I'll stick with that.
Exactly, me too. Or Fight TV. Check out Fight TV, too.
Fight TV also, that's right.
So also check them out. Cody, new first opponent, Backlash, will be
That's AJ right. That's Styles. What we've been saying. Kev's right. Do we care before and after, right?
Right, exactly.
AJ Styles, sounds like Cody like said this a while back that he'd love to wrestle. I don't know if there was an interview, but he said that at some point in WWE he'd like to wrestle AJ. They never crossed paths. You look back at the history, it's crazy. They never crossed paths. You know, as AJ was coming into WWE, Cody had just left the same year, you know, going to New Japan, doing his thing over there. They haven't met since they've both been here. I think this is a great first opponent for Cody Rhodes. What do you think about this?
I love it. I love it. Good styles here. You can play off Bullet Club. You can play off their history in New Japan. Like you said, even though they didn't cross paths there.
They got Georgia roots and... it was a good find on Twitter. Kev sent it to me a couple days ago. AJ Styles wrestled Dusty Rhodes for the NWA title ways back.
That's crazy.
There's a clip on Twitter somewhere. Yeah, Hope Broken Skull Sessions. There we go. There's a clip on Twitter. AJ wrestled Dusty Rhodes for the NWA title, I believe.
Was this in TNA?
I think it was the year 2000. Maybe it was in TNA for the NWA title, something like that. I think it was that, but they wrestled.
So you have crazy. Like,
which is nuts. You have that kind of connection, but you're right. Both Georgia guys. And you're right. They could play the Bullet Club connection. You know, AJ, what I was saying early on was like, AJ could just come out and be like, hey, Cody, you know, while you left the company to, you know, you didn't accomplish what you wanted to and you left. I came in and I became the world champ.
Yeah, you could do that.
I wrestled Roman.
I beat John Cena.
Yeah, like I beat Roman. I beat John Cena. I became the champ like within a year of me being with the company. So AJ could come in and be like, I did all this shit before you did, you know? That's how you could set this thing up, which
I think it's going to be a great match because these guys are just two great workers in the ring.
I agree. It's going to be a really good match. Crowd in France is going to be hot probably because they haven't had a pay-per-view.
We knew as much as we wanted LA Knight to win, we knew he wasn't going to win.
Yeah, and now you have a 1-1 series with LA and AJ to wear at later in the year if you want. You can always go back to this and do the rubber match. And then, you know, put over LA Knight again. Like, I don't expect, obviously, I think Styles might be a one-off. I don't expect this to be like a multi.
No.
Unless they throw us a swerve and they go like multiple pay-per-views with this, which I don't expect. This will be just a good first opponent for Cody. Good wrestling match. Get a, you know,
AJ's
victory.
Established himself as a good heel, too.
Yeah. And what do we say after WrestleMania? Cody's title reign is only going to be as good as who do you have on the flip side to be that heel, to be that number two against him? Like, you really, like, you, because a title run can fail if you don't got good opponents.
Right, exactly.
AJ's a good start. And then depending on what they do with this draft this weekend, I feel like you need to have, at some point, he's got to wrestle Gunther if they're doing the Bash of Berlin later this year. I feel like Gunther's got to be on the same show as him. If you turn Randy at some point, because Cody and Randy is going to be a money feud, and you keep the bloodline there, you need to feed some heels to Cody Rhodes.
Oh, and if we're getting, and if Tama Tonga is just going to be like straight Tama Tonga from Bullet Club earlier, when Bullet Club first started, it was just going to be ruthless.
Yeah.
If Solo's taking charge, great. Give me that.
You could do Cody and Solo. You know, Roman, we know, is going to be off for a while until it's going to be a while until The Rock comes back. So this whole summer is going to be predicated on what heels, strong heels, are wrestling Cody Rhodes. You know,
right? Exactly. You're starting with a good one with AJ.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. You know, it's draft. Not only is it draft week for the NFL, it's draft week for the WWE.
Do you think LA Knight goes to Raw?
Yeah, because I don't know. Did I send it to you in this chat? I was telling you. No, just like I love the person, somebody on Twitter, actually, I'm not taking credit for it, but they're going to call it Monday Night Raw. K-N-I, get it? Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
So, like, that fits. But I think so, because a three-hour show will probably benefit him a little more, you know, more time to be on the show, you know, as opposed to SmackDown. And he might get, like, if Cody's going to be staying there on SmackDown as the champ, you know, LA Knight is a big babyface in his own right. You don't want him getting lost in the shuffle. Get him to Raw. You know, keep Priest over there. Get him in the running for Damian Priest's World Heavyweight Championship. Why the hell not? Like, get him in the mix for a U.S. title or, you know, well, I guess the champs are staying, right? So Sammy's going to stay with the Intercontinental. Get me LA Knight on Raw. I think he'll be a good fit there. What do you think?
I would like him on Raw unless they're really pushing the LA Knight Logan Paul thing for SummerSlam.
Yeah. Yeah,
that would be the only reason I see he stays.
That's a good point. That's actually a very good point. If they want to do LA Knight and Logan Paul at some point, he's got to stay on that same show as Logan Paul. You're right.
Right. So, I mean, that would be the only reason he stays. But I can see him going to Raw because he's a babyface. Priest's going to need some babyfaces because Rollins not there.
Rollins is going to be out for
a while. And McIntyre's just playing off the CM Punk thing angle from years ago.
Yeah, well, McIntyre, we assume, is going to get the belt. I mean, I don't know. Is he going to win a title at Clash of the Castle? I think so. And if that's the case, again, Drew Mack needs some baby faces to go against. LA Knight, perfect guy. KO, where's he going to go? You know, so it's going to be interesting. Gunther, to me, is going to be very interesting to see what show they put Gunther on.
Right, because it seems like Imperium's breaking apart.
They are, and Gunther, I would assume now, at this time next year, like heading into 25 and next year's Mania, they want to have this guy in the upper echelon or at least competing for one of these heavyweight championships. I think you need to, right? I mean,
he just had 666 days as Intercontinental Champion. Like,
right.
The dude needs he's got to be a dominant heel.
It sounds like he's going to be, obviously, he threw his name in the mix for the King of the Ring. We're getting the King of the Ring in May.
The Ring's coming back, baby. Let's go.
Saudi Arabia and the May. So God,
yeah, but is it just going to be the finals?
Just the finals on the show, I think. Yeah, so we're going to get the tournament during this next month. I know you, me, and Drew love when they had the whole tournament in one night.
Yeah, the tournament was the best.
One night, it was the best. Or at least give me the semifinals if you're not going to do
like, yeah, 96, they started doing, like, semifinals. And then, like, 99, yeah. 2000, they went back to, like, the full tournament.
Yeah, give me the full tournament. Nothing beats the Hitman going three matches in one night to win it.
While three different ways he won the match, too.
Yeah, what was it? Schoolboy? What was it?
Small package.
Small package.
And I think he won victory roll on Bam
victory
Bam.
Victory roll. Gotta love it, man. Great stuff.
Well, they told him he couldn't use the sharpshooter, so.
I think Gunther's going to win this thing.
I think he's going to win the King of the Ring. I think Sheamus put something out. He's like, well, what if I'm a two-time winner? And I saw somebody put over a thing of the Burger King. Jerry Lawler, baby.
Yeah, I love Sheamus playing up on that. People were talking smack. If you know one thing about Sheamus, he's probably going to get in really good shape because prior to his injuries, he had that YouTube workout show that
right,
he would
exactly.
have.
Right, so exactly.
I expect this guy to get in good shape eventually.
Dude, the Burger King, baby. Jerry Lawler.
But it's good. I think it's good to have Sheamus back. Him and Drew McIntyre had a really good promo on Raw.
Right, so you can get those two guys started again, and that'll be a good baby face for Drew Mac when he wins the title.
Yeah, and things are going to get interesting now with the Bloodline. We heard Jacob Fatu might be showing up, and then I saw a report that they don't want to rush it. So where does the Bloodline stay on SmackDown? Where does Jimmy and Jay, are they split up? Like, there's going to be a lot of factors that go into this draft.
Yeet movement,
weekend.
Baby. Yeet.
The Yeets, yeah. So a lot of guys curious to see what they do, how they split up these rosters, and what titles go where and everything.
I agree. I mean, it feels different around the draft this year. It's not like the same old. Now, hopefully all these guys stay on the same show, and we're just not going to like, all right, well, a year from now, we're going to do another draft. It's like, all right, so what's the point of these things? Like,
well,
so we're just going to have super shows? Fine. But like,
yeah.
If you're going to do it. Like, don't. Like, in 2002, when they made the first brand split, like, established SmackDown. Like, Paul Heyman established SmackDown with all those guys. Like, Raw was Triple H's show. Like,
how long until – that's the thing. How long until, you know, are they going to stick to this? Because Vince was notorious for that. Look, Triple H's first draft, maybe he's – you know, they're saying rosters lock May 6th. So – let's see if they stick to these rosters for the next year. If
well,
really
we know Backlash is 2 weeks, so obviously the draft is this weekend, and then Backlash, and then everything after Backlash.
Everything locks on the Raw after Backlash.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I'll say this. Triple H doing a great job. You know, Cody Rhodes, it seems like we just read some news that he's going to get cast into the remake of Naked Gun, so he's already getting, like, some movie roles here. But
first of all, before we even get into getting cast in the movie roles, shout out to Hollywood for just not coming up with any original work. Like,
yeah,
ever,
right? We got to remake everything, right? I mean, a classic.
Like everything. We're just going to remake everything. Like, shout out to no original work.
But he killed it on that European tour. There was a sold-out show every single night. You know, so
yo,
we're hearing good things coming out.
The WrestleMania European tour.
Post-WrestleMania European tour. That's notorious. So, love to see it. Cody, man, going to be good to have him back on SmackDown every week.
Dude, he kills it. He's greatest champion. By the way, shout out to the new belts that they debuted. The WWE Tag Team belts look sweet.
They're awesome, man. Both designs. Look, the SmackDown titles, they look exactly, you know, they're a spinoff of the original Tag Team titles that we all love.
So good.
It's kind of made, you know, that, and that's the thing. Seeing those titles, it's like, all right, guys want to go after these titles because they looked really nice. And even the Raw tag titles.
The Raw
really
ones are
design.
Okay.
They're good.
They're not as good as those, though. Like, those are the best titles on any WWE program right now.
Great job for the design on that, and it's a long time coming. And hopefully.
And that's FTR's design. They wanted the belts back.
They did, yeah. And hopefully. That means we're going to get a new Intercontinental and maybe a Winged Eagle variation.
Oh, that would be great. Winged Eagle, bring that bad boy back.
Hell yeah.
So, look, I let, you know, Waller taking shots at AEW, Swerve coming back, look, he Swerve was great. I saw his thing. He's like, yeah, congratulations. I love how far you've come. You were in the stands when I was winning titles over there too. So yeah. Like, yo, congrats on the hard work you put in.
Right. Ray, Swerve had a good response to that.
I mean, he didn't take any negative shots.
No.
I mean,
he got asked the question.
Right. And look, we were both saying this the other in our chat, right? Like Tony Storm's press conference. Like, why are we taking shots at Cody? Cody has not said a bad word about this company.
Yeah, Cody's just taking straight bullets. You know, he's never said any negative things toward AEW, and he was just taking strays, man.
Straight bullets this guy takes.
Yeah, but unnecessary.
Unnecessary bullets. Great champion. I can't wait to see where they go with everything.
Me too, man. It's exciting. They're coming off of WrestleMania. They got these next couple international pay-per-views going into SummerSlam. So, like, things are hot right now.
That's the next North America pay-per-view, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because you got France, you got Saudi, you got Toronto,
Glasgow,
Scotland. So, four international PLEs coming up, SummerSlam in August. That's the next. That is the next American PLE. So, yeah.
That's which crazy. Is crazy.
And then they're going to go to Berlin in September. So they're all over. They're global this year.
Global.